The Burdens We Bear.
My oldest daughter has always been a precious treasure to my husband and me. She's a bit of a wild child, and we've had our challenges, but nothing could have prepared me for what took place her first year in preschool. She was academically prepared for school, though she rarely demonstrated it to her teachers. She colored and cut and did most of the things children that age did, but the teachers wondered if she was even capable of doing those things. Those, however, were minor issues compared to how she interacted with her peers. The beautiful, free-spirited, loving child I knew at home was quite different at school. According to her teachers, she was a bully. My 3-year-old daughter, a bully. Not just a bully, but an aggressive bully that did not tolerate authority figures and lied about what she had done to the other children. To listen to her teachers, my child morphed into a hellspawn the moment she entered the classroom. After several months of trying our best to fix the behavior, we were offered an alternative solution. It was the school's individual education plan, or, as we called it when I was a kid, the special education program. To see my daughter, you'd assume she was just like any well-adjusted child. She doesn't look any different from other children. She doesn't wear Coke bottle glasses or have a speech impediment. She doesn't have the distinct appearance of a Down syndrome child. There is nothing on the surface to indicate that she was in need of special attention. You might think her behavior at home would have given us a clue, but it didn't. She was well-behaved and never lied about what she'd been doing that would have gotten her into trouble. In fact, the time she broke my desk drawer, she ran to tell me about it moments after it happened. Anywhere we went, she was polite, saying please and thank you without needing to be reminded. If we needed to scoot by someone in the movies, she would say, "Excuse me, ma'am or sir." I remember walking my daughter into the classroom, sitting with her until she accomplished the entire morning routine, something the teachers had asked me to do because they couldn't accommodate her need for such close attention in the mornings. I watched other parents drop their children at the door with a quick tug and kiss goodbye. I wondered how many of them knew what my child had done and thought that we had somehow taught her to be a bully. Or perhaps they didn't know, and, seeing me sitting there next to her, they thought I was babying her. The next year of preschool was much better. Most of her classmates were new that year, so there were no held-over hard feelings. She had a new teacher, but the teacher's aide was the same from last year, so she had the perfect combination of new and familiar. Her IEP counselor was also new and excited to work with her. There were still some challenges, but everything was looking up. About halfway through the year, I was waiting to pick my daughter up from school, and I happened to sit next to another mother whose son was in the same class. We struck up a conversation, and I discovered she had an appointment with the teacher and the school principal regarding her son's behavior. Apparently, he had been pushing and pinching his classmates. In a rush, she explained her son had Down syndrome, and he often had difficulty showing affection appropriately. For him, a push or a pinch was a sign of affection. In a flash, I thought back to our own challenges with my daughter the year before. She had been much the same, unaware that her way of playing with her classmates was viewed as destructive, and that she was quickly being labeled a bully. I was glad I could offer her some comfort in that the first year was always the hardest and that next year should be better. As her shoulders relaxed, I could see the same worries had bothered her that had plagued me the year before. What were other parents thinking about my child, about my parenting skills? There was another child in my daughter's class the second year that would cry and cling to his father every morning. I could see in the tightness in the father's face and his tense posture that he was keenly aware of the other adults in the room. Did they think his son was a mama's boy, somehow less male and thus weaker? Would his precious offspring be rejected? I found out later that the child had autism. Like my daughter, this child's challenge wasn't obvious in his appearance. I never got the chance to tell this father how beautiful his son was, though I wish I had. The burdens we bear are not always written on our faces or in the carriage of our bodies. In some, like the Downs child or my cousin who is mentally challenged, it is easily seen. But if you saw their parents without them, you might not know what challenges they face. Jesus said in Matthew 7:1-2, "Don't judge, so that you won't be judged. For with whatever judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with whatever measure you measure, it will be measured to you." It's human nature to wonder about the differences we see. Categorizing others has helped us survive as our societies have evolved. It makes it easier to create friendships and avoid conflicts. Making those initial snap judgments may be impossible to stop. However, we can move beyond our need to instantly shuffle others into classes of behavior to see the person who is really there. One of the first things we must realize is that we don't know the story behind what we're seeing. Everyone has a story that begins from the day we're conceived. We don't know what challenges that person or persons has faced in their life, or even just that day. Perhaps the parent we saw in the grocery aisle arguing with her child isn't abusive, but instead had a sleepless night, or is under the weight of financial strain and has finally hit the end of her reserves. Maybe the child throwing a tantrum in the toy department isn't a brat who expects to get everything he wants, but is late getting his lunch and is unable to cope with the hunger. The loud family across the restaurant might be enjoying a homecoming and has no intention of being obnoxious to the other patrons. The truth is, we don't know what a situation is or who a person is in one instant. We can only get a brief glimpse. Something else we must realize is that we carry a certain amount of fear within us about what others might think of us. It's normal to draw the conclusion that if you watch and judge the people around you, then they are doing the same and making judgments. It's difficult to realize that others are more concerned about their own situation than that of those around them, especially when you're aware of others around you. Just as judging others sets up a cycle of fear of being judged, followed by more judging of others and more personal fear, the reverse is also true. When you give others the benefit of the doubt and work towards seeing others as humans with faults like our own, it becomes easier to live without fear and to reach out to others as God wants us to. This is the basis of both the Golden Rule, Matthew 7:12, and the command to love our neighbors as ourselves, Matthew 22:39. My daughter had a lot of behavioral challenges to overcome, challenges that didn't show up until she was under the pressure of being with her peers in a structured setting. But we met them together with her teachers and the school counselors. This same girl now has the skills to walk away from tense situations and go to the classroom safe spot when she's feeling overwhelmed. She no longer views school authorities as adults who have no say in her behavior, but as people who want to help her achieve her best potential. She is also working harder on taking full responsibility for her actions in whatever entanglements happen with her peers. Because we were able to get past the fear of what others might think of us or our daughter, we've been able to help her overcome what could have been a lifelong struggle to be accepted by her peers.
And what about you? Are you ready to give up your fear and give your burdens over to the one who can show you how to face your challenges?
If you enjoyed this message, please take a moment to let your friends know on your favorite social media. You can also purchase Messages from One Servant's Heart, Volume 1, from my website by going to www.virginiaripple.com and clicking on Nonfiction at the top of the page.